We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Thanks for checking out Behind the Badgers. I'm Patrick Herb. Brian Mason is with me. We are, week two of social distancing, isolation. So we are all recording this podcast remotely. I'm in my temporary office that I've created in my basement. Mason, where are you?
Back in the basement. My home office actually is set up at the kitchen table. So
that does not seem very productive.
No, it's been interesting. It's definitely been interesting, but our kids' school is now the living room, so everything's changed a little bit given the circumstances.
We're on spring break here, so there's no school going on at the Herb
house. My daughter keeps asking, when does spring break start? And I'm like, honey, we're in the middle of it.
I lose track of what day it is, that's for sure. The day of the week seems irrelevant at this point, but it's been a strange adjustment. Our kids did virtual piano lessons with their teacher the other day where we had him on a screen, and we're trying to figure out, is it safe to play catch with a neighbor kid, like baseball? I don't know, touching the same ball, is that okay or not? So we're pulling out a lot of old toys in our house that we have not touched in a while. So that's good.
I think it really hit us the other day. We walked down to the playground in our neighborhood, and the playground is closed. Like literally a sign on it from the city saying that you can't play on the playground. Like it's amazing how this thing keeps evolving. And yeah, but we're going to talk Ethan Happ here in a minute, and there's no question that this is where we need to be going. And he saw it firsthand playing overseas in Italy and then trying to get out to get back home to the U.S. as the virus took hold in Italy and has ravaged that country.
Yeah, so today is Thursday, March 26th, and thanks for checking out our podcast. Thanks for listening. We appreciate a bunch of the feedback that we've been getting, and I apologize for the sound quality, that it's not as good as you're used to, but the good news is there's no video component this week, so you don't have to look at us. But we did have Ethan Happ as our guest today, and we want to get into that interview because it's fascinating. He was playing professionally in Italy, which, as we know, has become the epicenter of the coronavirus, and before the city entirely shut down, he was able to fly home, and now he's self-quarantined himself in his house in Milan, Illinois. In fact, his parents are living at a hotel. He's going to explain all that. He's got incredible perspective on what we're going through as a society, and also just really interesting stuff about playing basketball overseas and his view of this year's Badgers and following this year's team. And then he's got some really strong advice, like Brian, like you were mentioning, he's got really strong advice about what America could be headed towards if we're not careful. Mason, you talked to Jonathan Taylor too. We got some other perspective on some other guys and how they're dealing with this, didn't you?
Yeah, I think we'll circle back after we talk to Ethan with some of the insight we've gleaned from conversations we've had with some of the members of the football and men's basketball programs at Wisconsin. But yeah, Jonathan Taylor, as an example, when campus shut down here at Wisconsin, his first move was okay, I'm going to get out of here and fly back home to New Jersey. And now he's on 24-hour curfew in New Jersey. And we talked a little bit about last week, the effect that it's had on the NFL draft process, with now team facilities are completely shut down and all these visits that these draft prospects would normally be making in the lead up to the draft now aren't even taking place. So it's affecting everyone a little differently. And as you'll hear in a minute, I don't think there's many that have quite the experience with it that Ethan does.
No doubt. Yeah. We'll circle back to Badgers dealing with this social distancing, but for now, let's not waste any more time. I want to get ready to Ethan Happ and bring in his fascinating storytelling. Ethan, thanks for giving us some time. By the sounds of it, you have nothing but time right now.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Thanks for giving me something to do. Pretty much all day, just work out in the morning and then play video games, read a book. That's
video games against. Who are you playing video games with?
I play 2K and Fortnite, but Khalil Iverson and I play Fortnite together pretty much every day. But we're not really against each other, even though there is a lot of heckling, for lack of a better term, going on. But we play against each other, or with each other, every day on the same team.
All right, so Ethan, getting back to the basics here of your story, you're at home, or your parents' house. How did you end up here at this point?
So basically, I was in Greece to start the year off with a team called Olympiakos. They had a coaching change. So because of that coaching change, I went to a team in Italy. And then obviously Italy was one of the most known places for the outbreak of the coronavirus. And that it was right in the region that I was in. It was the Lombardy region, the northern part of Italy. So our season eventually got suspended, and they allowed the Americans to return back home if they wanted to. So I came home, but because I could be a carrier of the virus, then my parents decided they were going to stay in a hotel. I wanted to stay in a hotel rather than have them stay at home, but my dad brought up a good point that I shouldn't put any of the hotel workers at risk, because that could spread even faster that way if, you know, they changed my sheets and then changed, you know, 300 other people's sheets.
Let's get this straight. Have you been tested for coronavirus?
No,
this
I haven't been
tested. Precaution.
Yeah, that's the other thing I should have done in a lot of other interviews that I did, is I just talked about this, and then I had people like around Milan like thinking that I had the virus or something. and so it's been 2 weeks today since I've been home, and I haven't been tested. No, but the incubation period is from, you know, 0 days to 2 weeks, 14 days. So it's basically, I don't have the virus in me right now.
You have been feeling fine. You don't have any symptoms even.
No, I haven't had any symptoms the whole 2 weeks that I was home. So my parents are coming home tomorrow just to be on the safer side of things.
Well, I'm glad you're healthy. So what have you been doing? I got a million questions. What have you been doing for 2 weeks in your house? Have you left your house? Have you even like taken a walk, or are you literally locked the doors? I can't go anywhere.
No, because I'm lucky enough, luckier than most, honestly, with this self-isolation or quarantine, whatever you say. Like, I have a basketball hoop in my front yard. So even though it's been chilly, you know, I have wear the stocking cap. I had the cut-off fingertips of my gloves. I was out there in, like, snowy weather with 30 degrees. But, like, that's what I do for, like, 3-4 hours a day, is just I'm out there on the court. So that's pretty much where I get like my cardio in. But other than that, like I said before, just video games, Netflix, probably not different than most people right now.
So are your parents basically now, I mean, are they isolated in the hotel, or have they been able to get out at all, or What's their status?
My dad had to go to work up until about a week ago because of someone connected through his company ended up going to get tested for the virus. So then they shut that whole thing down. But yeah, I mean, they'll come by and just like drop off food on the bench and like wave from the van or the car or the truck. I mean, we've had a couple dinners when it was nicer out where they'll sit on the back of the truck and I'll be in the garage and we'll like talk from like 20 feet away or whatever it is. But so no, I mean, we're all making
bizarre.
I mean, there's no rule book for any of this. Obviously no one's lived through anything like this, but I think that, you know, what's getting us through this is like everyone has to do their part and can have like a sense of, I guess like gratitude that we're, you know, we're doing our part and we're not sick. When there's, you know, thousands and thousands of people who are in hospital beds that are sick.
Have you had any recent contact with anybody in Italy, teammates or coaches or staff or anybody that you were playing with over there?
Yeah, I just talked to one of the Italian teammates the other day and he said they're just doing the same that since I've left there, you know, they're still just on lockdown. They can't even get into the gym though, which would drive me absolutely insane. Like I said, I'm lucky to have this driveway, but they're in Italy and they're just cooped up in their apartments. And that was one of my biggest fears. That's why I wanted to get out of Italy so bad, was that I wasn't just like locked in this apartment, not able to go anywhere or do anything or really get any fresh air.
I want to ask you about that. Was there fear that you would not be able to leave, like at some point?
Yeah, no, when the virus really broke in Italy, it went from like 50 to like 300 or something like that. And it like doubled the day before. And then obviously it just kept going up. And that's when I became like a really good friend of one of the team manager guys. And I texted him and I was like, listen, like, let us get out before it's too late. Because I thought once the virus got so serious here that they would just shut off all borders, which is what happened. You know, the Italian government shut down the whole country and had everyone on lockdown. But what I didn't know was because my birthplace was somewhere else, I was allowed to fill out paperwork and return home to my birthplace. So it's serious, obviously, but it's not like some zombie apocalypse where they're not going to let you in or out of the country because, you know, you're could be sick.
Was there any concern that your hometown is spelled the same as
Italy? I was asked that, yeah. No joke. I was literally asked that at the TSA thing. They're like, were you born in the United States? I was like, yeah. He's like, you weren't born in Italy. I was like, no.
So what was the travel home like? Because I saw the photo you posted of the mask and goggles. And like, what was the airport like? What was the plane like? Like, paint that picture because it's fascinating to me.
Yeah, so we showed up to the airport at like, I had to leave my apartment at 2:30 a.m. that time. And we showed up to the airport for like our 6:25 flight at like 5 or something. And there was already like a long line of people all with masks on, like waiting to get on the flight. Because it was the day after Trump had decreed that there's no more international flights or whatever, like we're closing off borders for 30 days. So everyone's might not understand it or whatever, but the panic was definitely setting in. And there were people like in line trying to buy tickets on our flight to go home. Huh. And so everyone had masks on. I was traveling with the Diener family, Travis Diener. And he basically, you know, it was nice to have to travel with him because there was a lot of familiarity and like we were kind of in this together because we were all nervous that we were going to stop somewhere. You know, we were nervous that we were going to get, you know, detained somewhere or, you know, quarantined at some airport. But luckily there was no hiccups and yeah, made it all the way through to Chicago.
I mean, we're recording this here on Thursday, the 26th. Have you seen Sam Decker this morning? Looks like he's basically trying to do what you were doing, but now later scrambling to try to get home from Russia.
Oh, really? No, I didn't know. But I'm sure that's got to be tough because that's the thing is, if you're an American citizen, you always have right of passage to come back home, which is what I learned about the 30-day thing Trump said that he was going to do. But it's going to be hard to get flights because what airlines are going to take, you know, a flight all the way from wherever when it's just American citizens and very few people are flying. So yeah, I haven't kept up with Sam's, you know, trying to get back home, but hopefully he does.
Have you talked to Nigel Hayes recently? Cause I know he's stuck in, I think, Lithuania right now. And I see on his Instagram, he's trying to become a chef and trying to work out in the hallway. And
yeah, no, I mean, me and Nigel Snapchat all the time, but we don't really like, go over our daily lives. It's more just like funny stuff, like memes and stuff sent back and forth. But yeah, Nigel, obviously he's making the most of it, doing his stairway workouts and stuff like that.
You mentioned Travis Diener, the Marquette alum, and you guys ended up playing together this year. What is the, before all of this set in and this craziness that's kind of taken over the whole planet, I think it's fascinating just this idea of what you guys do to play overseas. What has that experience been like for you?
Yeah, playing overseas isn't for everyone. You know, it's definitely, you know, going out of your comfort zone, having to usually live alone unless you have some kind of girlfriend or wife, being in a completely new place. And, you know, it depends on where you're at, but the language barrier can be an issue too sometimes. Just like out and about in the town, usually everyone in the organizations will speak English well enough to, you know, so you can communicate back and forth. But when you're trying to get something to eat somewhere or trying to read a label on, you know, if you're allergic to something, like there are a lot of hiccups that go along with playing overseas. But outside of that, like people do it because they love the game of basketball. I mean, I obviously have aspirations of coming back and playing in the States, you know, whether it's next year or the year after, but I thoroughly enjoyed my time in Greece. I thoroughly enjoyed my time in Italy. I love the style of play that they were playing. And you really, I mean, it's every basketball team you're ever on, you're going to make friends, but I think you are even tighter with your, you know, European teammates that are not European, but when you're over in Europe with your American teammates, because you guys are kind of in this together and, you know, you speak the same language, you might have some similar background or whatever. So like the two, Brandon Paul on the Greek team that I was on from, he played at Illinois, like became extremely close, went to dinner every night. We still talk all the time. And then Travis and Jordan Matthews from Gonzaga, those are my two people in Italy, really, that I just hung out with them, you know, every day, every off day. And so it's pretty cool that you get, like, new friends for life almost every team you go to.
So you've played in Greece and Italy. I would think those would be two great places to play. Yeah. Because basketball is big there, but also, like, beautiful countries. And did you have a chance to – sightsee, explore much, or was it mostly just basketball?
No, I mean, Greece was amazing. I was, if you know, people listening, if you ever have a chance to go to Athens, definitely go. Go to like the southern part of Athens, right on the Mediterranean Sea. I was living in an apartment that was like 5 minutes from the sea, and it was like a 5 minute walk from this like two mile long, I guess it's kind of strip mall, like restaurants, shops, high end stuff. It was amazing. Like I loved where I was living. I loved the basketball, obviously. The weather was fantastic. And then in Italy, I went to Florence and Milan. Both cities were great. I would say Florence is probably a better place to go if you're just like a tourist type of thing. But yeah, I mean, I loved the experience. The food in Greece was amazing. The food in Italy was probably even better. Huh. I mean, I really don't have any complaints. I wish that I could have finished out the year in Italy. I mean, everything there is so organic, and you know, there's so many things over here with GMOs and mass production, and you know, in European countries, it's just like they don't even refrigerate their eggs because it's so fresh. They bring them right from the farm and put them right in the grocery store. And yeah, I loved everything about Italy and Greece.
Did you pick up any recipes? Are you doing any cooking now that you're stuck at home?
No. I that's part of the story is, when I was in Italy, well, one, I don't cook. Like I rarely did in college, and definitely I wasn't doing it overseas. And then when the outbreak started, it was like 25 to 50, 50 to 300. I was like, okay, I'm not risking anymore. I am just cooking food from home. So I got like everything that was in the frozen section, frozen burgers, frozen chicken, frozen mozzarella sticks, whatever it was. And so I cooked my own meals for a month. there. So then when I got back here, I was like, nope, mom and dad, you're gonna have to drop off stuff, or it's gonna be Pop-Tarts and frozen pizzas for the rest of the time, because I'm not making any more meals for the foreseeable future.
Did you pick up any Italian or Greek?
Mostly just Greek is hard. Greek is, I mean, people, when I first got there, like, are you learning any Greek? I'm like, they have different letters. Like, it's damn near impossible to learn Greek. So I just learned, like, hi and bye and thank you. And then I would, in Italy, I tried to learn it more seriously, but then I kind of hit a wall where I would sound ridiculous when I was trying to say it. And, like, the Italian guys were, like, laughing at me. So I pretty much just, I can understand more Italian than I can speak a lot more Italian. So, like, I can kind of piece stuff together when the coach is speaking to the Italian guys in Italian, or when I'm at the store or something and someone's talking to me in Italian, I can piece together stuff. But if I were to speak it, it would sound terrible, because, like, the wordage and how you have to use the genders in Italian, like, it would come off miserable. So I just gave up on trying to speak Italian.
Vino is gender neutral.
Yes, it is. Yeah, no. And it, yes, the food and the wine, man. I was just telling my buddy last night, like, this one place that I went, it was the best pizza I ever had. And it wasn't like, oh, this pizza's so good and the wine's good. Like, it was the best wine I ever had too. I mean, it was, man. Like I said, Italy was a nice spot. Italy was good.
All right, so the eating was good. What about the ball? How did the season go for you? Patrick's got your numbers here, 18 points, 9 rebounds a game. I mean, on paper, it looks good, but how do you think it went?
I thought it was good, but I really felt like I had more to give in the second half almost. Like, because coming from college, it's a different game. I mean, it's a different game than the NBA, obviously. European basketball is a different style of play. There are different rules. So I was, the first half of the season, I was kind of just like, just getting to learn the, you know, the ins and outs of what to do, you know, where you can get away with stuff here. So yeah, I was really looking forward to playing the second half of the season, but obviously the virus stopped everything. But yeah, the style of play was that we were playing was upbeat. It was fast, run and gun. You know, we were putting up somewhere around 90 points a game. I'm sure Pete Herb could figure that out somehow. And we, yeah, we were putting up a lot of numbers and getting a lot of opportunities, and I was able to take the ball off the rim, like, similar to Wisconsin, but more times in a game because of the amount of possessions we had, you know. So I was able to take the ball off the rim and go coast to coast and try and make plays for other people. And our head coach was a national team head coach. He gave everyone so much freedom. It was fantastic. And playing with Travis, because he was hurt when I first got there, and then when he joined the team, that's when we even started to bump our scoring average up even more. I mean, the way he shares the ball, it's like that. It never sticks in his hand. Like, it, as soon as he touches it, he knows exactly where he's going to throw it next. And it's just, you love to play with a guy like that.
Yeah, I want to know, but what were the points per possession and turnovers per game? And what was your defensive efficiency? So, but
see,
what kind of?
That's the thing. That's the other thing. We didn't care about that at all. Oh, we didn't even, we barely watched film of our mistakes on the next, like, at Wisconsin. I mean, Wisconsin is a fantastic program. I would go there again if I could. I would love to live another 4 years there. But, you know, they focused a lot on, like, okay, if I turn the ball over in a Wisconsin game, I was thinking, yep, that's going to be on clips tomorrow. If I wasn't there, I was like, yep, that's going to be on clips tomorrow. Like, I'm going to get chewed for that tomorrow. And then here, it was like, you turn the ball over, it was like, it didn't register, really. Like, you turn the ball over here or you miss some kind of defense assignment, coach might yell at you, like, in the moment, but then that's the last time you're going to hear of it from anyone. So you play, like, really, really free.
What's the schedule like? So are you, I mean, is it like the NBA where you've got maybe a night between games or two nights, and so there isn't much time to focus on what went wrong? You're just moving on to the next game, or what does the schedule look like?
And how do you travel? I'm always wondering about that, too. Is it buses?
Well, so it depends on where you're at. So when I was in Greece with the EuroLeague team, so it's EuroLeague, which is like the best league of all of Europe. That's the NBA of Europe, basically. That was the team I was on in Greece. And then I like moved down to just an Italian league. So we didn't travel to anywhere outside of Italy. We just played the different teams in Italy. So with Italian league, we just traveled by bus, except for two places we had to fly. One was on an island. But in EuroLeague, we obviously, you know, we're flying to Russia, we're flying to Spain, we're flying to Italy. And then you also have the Greek league inside of your EuroLeague schedule. So that gets pretty compact. But when I was in Italy, we were just playing usually once or twice a week. So it wasn't too hectic.
What are the crowds like? Because, I mean, you referenced that the basketball is huge in Europe, and you see it when it's Olympic time, how seriously European countries take their hoops. But what were the crowds like? Like, how into it are people over there?
Man, I love it. I love it. I love it. I never thought that, you know, some of the student sections that I was at in the Big Ten would be topped. It's just crazy. Because I think it's because you add alcohol and you add like 20 years onto the ages of these fans. Like, it's not like student sections. They're like grown men that are just super fans, and they're standing up the whole game. Like, legit, I just wish people could experience this in their life. They're standing up the whole game, screaming the whole time, like whistles, noisemakers. I think like vuvuzelas or what are those things called? I don't even know.
It's all that good wine. That's what it is.
And like just like the whole time, like beating on drums. They have like the megaphones, all this stuff. And it's not like it's just like, you know, at the Kohl Center or like Michigan or whatever, when there's like a comeback or something's going on. It's the whole entire game. They're just beating on this drum and screaming and yelling. And it's so much fun to play in, and it's such a great atmosphere. And yeah, I loved – they take that – extremely seriously. I mean, they would see me all over town and be like, "Hap," and like a big thumbs up, like couldn't speak English really. Like a lot of the native like Italian people in Northern Italy can't speak a lot of English, but they would know "Hap," and they're like thumbs up and wave and stuff. So it was awesome.
I mean, that sounds a lot like European soccer, like talking about the crowd is into it from the start to the end. Like that seems like there's a lot of that same passion there.
Yeah, no, because when I was in Greece, I went to a soccer game, and I mean it's packed, and it's like it's the same kind of situation where there's just all these hundreds and hundreds and probably in soccer games thousands of grown men just screaming and yelling the whole time. It is like a student section, but like I said, it's drunk grown men that are taking their shirts off and screaming and banging on drums.
That's incredible. That is incredible. I want to switch a little bit. Did you have a chance to follow this year's team at all? This year's Badgers team from Europe?
The only game that I watched from start to finish was the Marquette game. And that was because Travis and I had money on that. So thank you. I sent a snap to all my former teammates, but thank you again for winning me that money. But other than that, like, cause even for that, like I had to stay up till the game was at noon or 11 or something, and I had to stay up till like 2:30 to watch the game or something. So the time difference was really the reason I couldn't watch any of the games. But I was following along obviously on social media and everything, and I was, you know, I think I was in the same boat as everyone else, like, oh, kind of shaky, rocky, hopefully when Micah comes back, like, you know, we pick it up, and then bam, like they hit in stride right at the right time, won 8 in a row at the end of the year. And it really just breaks my heart that, especially like Brevin and, you know, Michael Ballard even, like, couldn't experience one more like NCAA tournament, you know, especially with how that team was rolling.
I know, and that's the feeling everybody around here. Like, I'm not sure what would have happened. They were playing so confidently too. Yeah. That it was,
yeah, that's the thing, especially for the tournament at the, like, you've seen it even in the Big Ten, like Michigan, not last year, but two years in a row,
yeah,
they just got hot at the right time, and bam, you know, like they were there. They just did what they needed to do, and that's the exact feeling that I got from this team at the end of the year.
So you played against Micah the second semester last year in practice all the time. Were you surprised at the impact that he had, or did you maybe like, you know, I could see it coming?
No, yeah, I would say that I wouldn't say that I was surprised that he made such a – No, I wouldn't say I was surprised, just to answer your question straightforward. I mean, there was so many intangibles that he could do. You know, he's athletic. He's got good size. He can shoot the ball. And obviously all those things are something that you want out of your big man. So I don't think I was surprised at all, no.
He's still as passionate during practice as he was last year. I can confirm that. both positive and getting frustrated at himself.
Right.
I can confirm that.
Missing a layup and just screaming, and then everyone's just kind of looking around like, what's going on? Like his first, like second day of practice, he missed some bunny or something, and at the top of his lungs screaming, and we were like, who's he screaming at? And then like 2 seconds later, we're like, oh, he's just yelling at himself.
All right, so we're all sitting here missing the NCAA tournament. What is your favorite March Madness memory?
Oh, man. See, I don't think I'll ever be happier than, I don't know, maybe when my kid is born or something, but I don't think I'll ever be happier than when we beat Villanova. When we were in that locker room, I can distinctly remember just going up to everyone, grabbing their shoulders, and just screaming as loud as I could, like, let's go, or like some probably, you know, cuss words, whatever. But I remember doing it to Catherine Bosters. She was the old Dobo there. And yeah, I mean, I just grabbed her. I started shaking her. I was like screaming. Like I had this thing in my stomach and my chest that was just like made me want to yell. Like that was the best. That was one of the best feelings of my life. So definitely that and the Xavier win, those are definitely my two top moments.
Yeah, man, that's we. It's been fun and like bittersweet being on social media right now because it's fun seeing all
everyone's
the memories.
Yeah,
everybody's doing brackets and countdowns and memories, and they're re-airing old games. And like I'm seeing like the Florida game, the very next game after
I was just going to say, I've seen
Joey's belt. Yeah, seeing Joey do the belt, I'm like, that would have been one of the most iconic moments in Wisconsin history. And then Chioza throws in his
Chioza,
miracle.
It's hard for me to talk about. But I just can't – like, people, whenever I bring it up or we're talking about it, which is very rare because my close friends know not to bring the game up. They're like –
sorry, man. I'm sorry.
I mean, obviously, we're not close friends, so you don't know. But no, like, seriously, like, friends around me, they know not to bring that up. But if with, like, Travis, when, like, Travis and I were talking about it, like, he's like, well, yeah, I was, like, complaining about Chioza. Like, I can't believe that mother, he hit the run 1 foot, like, unbelievable. And he's like, well, what about Joey? I'm like, yeah, Shows is pretty lucky too. Like, I guess we kind of got lucky there. And then they, you know, that's how the world works sometimes, is you just go back and forth.
E, thanks for jumping on with us and sharing your stories. It's good to catch up with you, and it's crazy to hear your perspective on everything. Before we wrap up, do you, as you've talked to Americans now that you're back, have you kind of given people a message about your perspective on that this is a serious thing and you're taking it very seriously, obviously, by quarantining? Like, have you kind of given a message to people about the severity of coronavirus and how we can affect change?
Yeah. So, I mean, there's so much stuff to say on it. At first, when I got here 2 weeks ago, if people were still out and about, it was, you know, it could be ignorance. But now if people are still out on, you know, vacationing in Florida or whatever, that's just arrogance. I mean, if you have seen or paid attention to what's happened in Italy, they are choosing who gets treatment and who doesn't. So if, you know, if a young person comes in versus like a 45-year-old person even, like if I come in and a 45-year-old person comes in, they're just going to tell the 45-year-old person that might need a ventilator, that might need a hospital bed to go home because they don't have enough space. And that is where we're headed right now. Even though the U.S. is a much, you know, much more vast like land and have more circumference to cover, like Italy, they don't have that fewer hospital beds and ventilators than we do. I mean, they are dealing with the problems that we're going to be dealing with in 2 weeks if people don't stay home. It's a scary thing that I was over there and, you know, obviously I didn't want to get sick because I didn't want to take a bed from someone else. But it, if you don't stay home and you don't social distance, we're headed exactly for where they are. And, you know, it's bad right now, but if we can give the medical system, the healthcare system some time, to, I'm sure everyone's heard, like, flatten the curve, then we aren't headed to, you know, tragic ideas like, oh, okay, well, you go home and we'll treat you, but your, you know, parent has to, you know, they have to go home and just pray that they're going to be okay. It's real scary stuff. Obviously, I said before, there's no blueprint, there's no rule book to this. But just listen to your government officials, obviously. And if you can at all, you know, just stay home, try not to touch your face, wash your, and make sure you're washing your hands. And yeah, just, I'm sure you've got all heard it 1,000 times before, but just keep doing that. And, you know, we'll get through this eventually. Just hopefully if everyone takes the right measures, it won't be as bad as it is in Italy.
Thanks for your advice. Thanks for your perspective. Thanks for your quarantine. You know, you're part of the solution by doing what you're doing, and you're on the last day. So congratulations.
Yeah, I mean,
on getting just to hug your parents.
All you got to do is do your part. I don't understand. Like, just stay home and play video games. Stay home and watch Netflix. It's not, it's not like we're asking you to run 10 miles or go to war. Like, just stay home. It can't be that hard. I mean, it's 2020. You have everything that you ever wanted on your phone at your fingertips. So yeah, I'll do my part. I'll keep watching Netflix and playing video games. Don't worry about me.
All right. Thanks, buddy. Stay safe. Be well. Stay healthy.
Okay, gentlemen. Thanks for having me on. Take care of yourselves. Talk soon.
Appreciate it. Be safe. Our thanks again to Ethan for taking the time to join us and take some time out of his busy video game playing schedule as he wraps up his self-quarantine. I didn't bring up the fact that one of the big impacts that this has had on me, at least, is I've gotten a little more ambitious with my cooking at dinner time. And we had some pretty good, speaking of Italian food, pretty good chicken parm in the Mason house last night.
Did he not make you want to go visit Greece and Italy as soon as, like, the travel ban is lifted and everything returns to normal? He made it sound amazing.
I mean, I think being able to play sports for a living is a great opportunity for anybody and a dream for just about anybody that grew up loving sports. But to be able to do it in two beautiful places like that, he's been pretty fortunate.
Yeah, I don't think he's had the experience that every player has had going overseas. I've heard that, like, there's haves and have-nots in international sports, and sometimes you're living by, you don't get paid unless your team wins, and you're playing in front of zero crowds, and it sounds like he had a perfect scenario.
And I mean, speaking of pro, that path to the pros, it's like we alluded to before the interview, it's changed a lot for the guys that are in the NFL draft process right now. And, you know, mentioned Jonathan Taylor back home in New Jersey. Same for Chris Orr, a guy who could really benefit from some of those visits with teams. He's at home in Dallas. Tyler Biadasz, still recovering from a shoulder procedure he had. He's at where he was training, the location he was training at, out in Orange County, California. And everybody else scattered and went home. He's still there. He's like the lone wolf rehabbing from that shoulder injury. And then you've got guys like Quintez Cephas, who decided he was going to, instead of staying in Madison like he had originally planned, go back to Exos at Arizona. And, well, that facility got shut down. And so now he's working with his trainer out of a garage in Phoenix. So it's affecting everybody.
The injury and rehab component is really interesting. And how that relates to current Badgers too, is if you, let's say you were scheduled to have off-season surgery, or you had off-season
already had
surgery,
it, yeah,
and now you're in a rehabilitation process, like, everybody's scattered and they don't have access to the sports medicine facilities that they are accustomed to. So it's an interesting side topic of how people are adapting and how sports medicine are doing things remotely. And
yeah. And I mean, Chris McIntosh, when we had him on last week, alluded to that, for the most part, everything regarding Wisconsin athletics has been shut down except for sports medicine, pretty much. And this week, you know, we kind of took the next step. The semester resumed and virtual classes are underway, which has been a huge change for all the student athletes.
Yeah, you mentioned that those NFL draft guys are getting ready for the draft. They're keeping themselves in shape. That's good. I saw Frank Kaminsky is doing maybe the opposite. He's playing online video games against guys from other teams. Brian Bowen of the Indiana Pacers. And he got second place in his game against Brian Bowen. But yeah, classes have started on campus. That's I guess the most new, like, noteworthy news-wise thing that's happened at UW. And I talked to Micah Potter this week about it, like, just checking in, like, mostly out of curiosity, like, how's it going? What is that like? And he said professors are recording. They're doing their lectures. Typically, they're doing them live, and people can tune in and watch the lectures live. But they're also recording them and putting them essentially on demand, so that if you don't have internet at that time, or your schedule doesn't allow you to tune in at that time, you can watch it later. And then there, he's got assignments that he has to turn in digitally. And he said that it's an interesting mode, obviously, but it's worked well for him so far. And I think he still feels like he's learning and getting an education. And there's a few guys in basketball in particular that are finishing up their degrees. Like, even like a Dimitri Trice, who's not a senior, he's finishing up his degree this semester. And the news
that those guys won't be able to go through commencement.
You know, I was just going to say that.
That was announced since we recorded last, that commencement is officially canceled, postponed, whatever the term you want to use is. You know, I hate that hallmark event won't be there for those guys.
Yeah, I was just going to say that's a shame, that it's such a crowning achievement. But again, after talking to Ethan Happ, it's hard to, you know, he's got this perspective of the real world and the urgency of the situation, that any type of ceremony sort of seems, you know, superficial at this point and unnecessary. And I guess that's why these things are being canceled.
No question. I mean, like Ethan said, I think at this point, to help save the world, all we need to do is stay home. That's a pretty simple directive.
So I'm trying to do that. I am staying home, and I think I'm going to go in the backyard and shoot hoops with my kids after this. But thanks for listening, everybody. We will continue to do this podcast as long as we can. We're going to try and have compelling guests like Ethan, who have interesting perspectives on either what their life is like right now in this social distancing era, or maybe catch up with somebody who can take a trip down memory lane a little bit and give us some entertainment and think back to better times. I mentioned Frank Kaminsky a minute ago. We got to get Frank to take on here. Frank's good at storytelling. He's got a lot to offer.
He would fit the glory days mode very well.
Oh, you mentioned Chris Orr too, and how not being able to do these NFL interviews is tough for him. And you're absolutely right, because he's a guy who would really thrive in that setting. We've had him on this podcast a couple times. We've gotten to know him personally. He's so genuine, so well-spoken and intelligent. And if you talk to him and sit with him, you can't help but come away impressed and like him. And that is a big shame that is probably lost on this, that here's a guy who's fighting to get drafted at all, and one of his biggest strengths might be kind of taken away from him.
Yeah, I mean, one of the scouts who was on hand at Wisconsin's Pro Day said afterward, his takeaway was, I could tell from the way that all the teammates and all the people that were in that facility were cheering for him and pulling for him, that they legitimately care for him, and he's made a huge impact. And you can tell that he's a leader. You can tell that he's somebody who has impacted his teammates. So, I mean, that definitely comes through when you just watch Chris, let alone when you get the chance to sit with him, talk to him, and get to know him a little bit.
Yeah, maybe we'll have to catch up with him too on this podcast. He'd be another fun guest to get in advance of the NFL draft. Well, our thanks to you for listening, and rate us, review, subscribe, all those things. If you can't, tell your friends about it. We're going to still try and keep you entertained for the next weeks, months, whatever it's going to take until everything returns to normal. And we'll do this all again next week.
Thank you for listening to Behind the Badgers. Please subscribe, rate, and review on your preferred podcast platform. The preceding has been a Learfield IMG College presentation.